that once the ape-like creature descended from the trees to the ground, to the horizontal plane, and began to travel and to observe other animals and to remember, essentially, and to apply, he began to form the process of analytical or reflective thinking. And I was, when you were talking about suburbia and this kind of horizontal plane that people are living on now, it was a kind of, I saw a cycle happening of again, in terms of arcology, going to the vertical again. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Wasn't one reason that the ape, by moving down of the trees, had to, for reasons of safety, survival, had to stand up, and that changed the morphology of the brain, or something with the muscles to do something with the muscles, and maybe the bones formation, so that the brain had better chance of developing, or I think there was something of that kind involved in this change of posture. Now we are Homo erectus, and I don't think we're going to change for a while at least this our posture. So the fact that you might be living in different levels would not bring in a transformation in your morphology that might define a new evolutionary trait. I don't know. Is that what?
Well, I wasn't really talking about physiological things as much as the
what?
The psychological, which is interesting that in order to form this process of reflective thinking, he had to go onto the horizontal, and now we're destroying ourselves by maintaining ourselves on the horizontal, and we have to go to the vertical again.
Mm-hmm. The reason why to go on the vertical is because of the thick of things. I mean, taking that as a slogan.
Something that they indicated in the documentary was that by being in the vertical at that time, man was not in the thick of things. As soon as he came onto the horizontal,
it was
the tribe.
Yeah. Any historical period has its own thick of things. And I think the more we move toward the complexity, the more we have to take into consideration the problem of mass energy that which are involved with. So the physical is still very much the determinant of what we are mentally. Just because our mental processes are depending on physical processes. So given for a moment the assumption that we can be like angels, then evidently the physical loses importance, and we can think in terms of a very different kind of setup. But we are not angels, let's face it. We are animals with an incredible tension built in, and this tension can be productive if we are very careful in taking care of our animal structure, which is not just the single structure, but it's the whole system of interrelationship between the single structures. That's what I was saying. You have two individuals and you have a society. You have a society, you have institutions which are making the connection. You have institutions which are making the connection. You need the instruments for those institutions. We are talking about the city. Yeah, the only thing that, in a sense, the survival now, it could be considered, or it could be in a higher level, a survival of a certain quality of life. Unfortunately, we are still dealing with maybe two-thirds of humanity which hasn't reached that level. So we are still dealing with survival, physiological survival. And not necessarily so, but it is so because of, in a way, of the nastiness of this young creature we call the human species. Jane?
Most of the Orthodox religions, probably all of them, offer the followers some sort of explanation for death within the framework that you described earlier about the sun god and so forth. Where does death fit in there?
Well, as I see now, it's the termination of a contribution, of a single contribution, which is what makes the bulk of life. So I'm given a responsibility throughout my life, and I can develop something, or I might not develop something that will make my contribution valid. As I see now, I cannot, I could hope, or I could hypothesize, an eternal life, but I cannot guarantee it to myself. It's just beyond me. That's part of the anguish and the tragic sense of life. There is a final moment where you might have to accept the fact that you disappear totally. I would suggest that some of you might want to read the report to Greg called Kazantzakis. I think it's quite a book. It's a biography of Kazantzakis, the Greek writer. You read it?
Yeah, he enjoys it.
But he's battling constantly with, with this fact.
I have a question on how you kind of develop the lengths or the thickness idea in the interim between like now and when the archaeological thing is built. Seems like we're in a fairly awkward period, like those of us here, we've kind of gotten or getting a mental framework or perspective on how a lot of these things tie together in ways of, some ways maybe applying in situations where we are normally. But how do you, it seems like there's always a problem of kind of isolation, people getting apart and then kind of losing these links and things. Is there any way to kind of tie all this together or develop these links in the meantime before archaeologies are actually in existence to kind of further develop the thing, the ideas and the whole concept?
Well, the ties are there, they exist. Very often there are diaphragms that tends to obscure the fact that the ties are there. How to go about, to be personally more efficient in trying to make clear that the tie exists, I don't know. I'm doing it my own way, the only way I feel I can do it, and I would be very poor at telling you how to go about to do it on your own. I can only say, try to see if in what I'm doing there is a lesson or something that you might profit from. Which is one reason why I don't feel I could be a teacher, because I just don't, I'm not able to put myself in your position with your specific problem and then come up with a helping hand.
necessary to have the implements of becoming there, as well as process.
Yeah. Well, I would say that possibly the clearest difference between process and becoming would be that process is that kind of event which is prompted from outside, and becoming is that kind of event which is prompted by the inner. So if whatever you do in Akkozanti or any other place, you do things only because you're pushed from outside, you're part of a process. And the process word might not be the best word that I could use, but let's use the process as such now, as I define it. If in this place, not only you act because of this pressure from outside, but you act because there is an inner pressure that makes you act, then you are becoming. Evidently, most of the things we do are a combination of those two things. You are pressured from outside, and you are compelled or coerced in doing something, but there is also an inner pressure that makes you at least accept this pressure, so you become also. The ideal is to have the inner pressure preponderant, so that you really become while you transform your environment or you transform things around you.
Understanding.
Well, that's why understanding what you are about and what you are involved in is important for becoming, which means important for your growth.
Are there any other questions? We should be all talked out at this stage. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for everything.
including for interrogating you.
Including this 65 or 68, what is 70 degrees?
It's always too cold in here. I told these people to bring their sweaters.
Sweaters. Yeah.
We did it. It'll be interesting to play it back and see how it sounds.
Really?
Say, if anybody here is taking slides, I guess if you insist on taking pictures, I'd like to have a couple of copies for the archive. How's that? If you could make a duplicate and... or just take an extra one.